This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The conversation continues about the Gulf oil gusher.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. And President Obama says tomorrow he'll deliver the first Oval Office speech. It'll be about the BP oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. BP's board of directors meets today to discuss a number of the White House's recent demands, including one that just came yesterday. The administration says it wants BP to deposit money into an escrow account to pay off the businesses who've lost out during the past month. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What do we know about this escrow account?
Not a lot, except that as an escrow account, it'll be administered by an independent third party, and that should mean the White House and all the businesses affected on the Gulf Coast could be sure of getting their hands on some cash if the courts rule against BP. But we don't know yet how much the White House has in mind for this account, and BP is not making any comment on it this morning.
And what about the other demands from the administration, Stephen? Didn't President Obama tell BP it couldn't pay out its dividend to shareholders?
That's right. And the company's really torn over this. I mean, executives are divided. On the one hand, they think that it could be an important political gesture to appease an angry American public. But on the other hand, says Jason Kenney of the ING Bank, the company is nervous about caving into the US and opening itself up to potentially unlimited claims.
The difficulty is that is there an element of feeding the beast? And if you yield to the US pressure, that essentially the US could come back and ask for more in the future.
Jason Kenney, incidentally, believes that the total ultimate cost of the disaster to BP will be between $6 and $7 billion, easily affordable by the company. Others are not so bullish, however. Credit Suisse puts the final bill at around $37 billion, and the Standard Bank has put it at $40 billion.
Mm. All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. France's president and Germany's chancellor meet today, the first time they've met since Europe agreed to a huge bailout of Greece and other countries with the debts. As Europe struggles to get budgets under control, France and Germany are holding a lot of those cards. But as the BBC's Johnny Diamond reports from Brussels, for Marketplace, the two countries don't quite see eye to eye.
The Germans are not at all happy they're now being asked to bail out free-spending Greeks, Spaniards and Portuguese. They want new rules that would punish debt-laden countries. The French instead would like to move towards what they've always really wanted the single European currency to be, a single European economic government. And whilst the Germans are talking tough over cuts in public spending, the French are wary about cutting deficits too far, too fast. Even so, the French finance minister, Christine Lagarde, reckons the European public, battered by bad news, can be brought along.
If the politicians have the courage to say what the reality is, what the challenges are, what the risks are, then public opinion is very smart and people understand.
France and Germany are used to setting the agenda as the Eurozone's largest economies. But if they struggle to find common ground, it could stall a recovery for the US's biggest trading partner. In Brussels, I'm the BBC's Johnny Diamond, reporting for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are up right now in Europe. Shares are higher. The FTSE up by 0.5%. The DAX in Germany up by more than 1%. Same for French shares. Asian markets were up today as well, about 0.5% or more. Wall Street Friday, the Dow rose 39 points and ended the week higher by nearly 3%. That's its best showing in a few months. Oil's back up above $75 a barrel in overseas trading. Now, in the coming days, we're going to get a few barometers on the health of the economy. The government reports on the producer and consumer price indices for May. We'll also get numbers on the housing market and industrial production.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. American Public Media presents The Great Textbook War, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the Batten Institute at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
Over the weekend, an anniversary passed that you may not remember, an important one that could mark the first time we saw clues about the weakness of the financial system, one that Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning to talk about. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So why is today such a big deal?
Because this is the first trading day of the fourth year of the worldwide financial meltdown.
Wait a second. I thought the financial meltdown was 1 or 2 years old.
Actually, it started, at least by my count, on June 12th of 2007, which is the day it became public that two Bear Stearns hedge funds speculating in mortgages were about to collapse.
So today begins year four. Why should we care about that?
Because there has been a lot of damage in 3 years that you have to take into account when you figure out what to do going forward. And people now are making the same kinds of mistakes that they made 3 years ago.
What kind of mistakes, Alan?
Investing in what has been doing well rather than in what's likely to do well. And what we're talking about now are bond funds, which has become America's favorite investment. And they're dumping stocks, and that's sure not what I'm doing.
What's the lesson here? What would you tell someone who wants to invest some money, either in the stock market or in the bond market?
Well, I would tell them that, again, assuming you have a long enough time horizon, that I sure would rather own stocks that have high quality and dividends and earnings and things like that than own bonds, which are almost sure to decline in value because interest rates are surely going up.
So the safer bet then in this case would be stocks.
Right. It looks riskier, but I think it's much safer.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, it's at least a 77-year-old debate whether James Joyce's celebrated novel Ulysses is obscene. Well, back in 1933, a U.S. federal judge said no, allowing the book entry into this country. Today, an illustrator of a comic web version of the book says Apple has reopened the debate. The maker of the iPad took offense to the nude picture of a female character as part of a new comic book app. Apple only approved the app after the artist agreed to zoom in on the woman's face. The illustrator said he originally offered to pixelate the questionable parts. No dice, said Apple. He even offered the age-old cover-up a fig leaf. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.